Orchard Tupelo, good morning. My name is Will Rambo. I'm one of the pastors here at the Orchard Tupelo. And today is a special day. Today is our 27th birthday as a church family. And so happy birthday to you. And we are excited to celebrate, though this is not exactly how we wanted to celebrate together. The weather being what it was this weekend, this was the wisest and most prudent way for us to be able together, even when we don't really get to be together. So I'm really grateful that we have technology available, that we have an incredible team of people who've been working behind the scenes to create this opportunity for us to worship this way. So here's what we have for you today. We are celebrating our birthday across our church family. So you're going to hear a few words from Brian Collier, who's our lead pastor of our church family and the founding pastor of our church, as he gives some vision and insight to some things God has been doing and desires to do across our church family. You're going to see some highlights of just some of the things that God did among us over the last year, culminating with us getting to celebrate with an incredible number of baptisms over the past year. And you're going to get to see so many of those faces today. And then there's a few things I want to share with you that I think God is calling us to as we move forward in 2026. And so we're grateful that even if this is how we're worshiping, that we get to worship together. And I hope you enjoy what we have in store for you. You hold your nose, okay? Callaway Elise Scott, I baptize you in the
name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Q4, your faithfulness, your faithful pursuit of Summer. And we pray, Lord, that you would give her a heart and a mind and a desire to continue her pursuit. Lord, we know that you have gifted her and that you have called her. We pray that this mark, this moment, is the beginning of a mighty thing that you want to do in her. And a mighty thing you want to do through her, all her days, for your glory. We pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus.
I thank you for the work that you are doing in her life, the joy that she has to know.
Happy birthday. Let me ask, what's the best part of a birthday? Cake? Celebrating with people that you love? The fact that you made it another year. Of course, we all know the answer to this question. The best part about a birthday are the gifts. Maybe God was orchestrating my thinking and our celebrating because every year during the last week of the year, I sit down and think about the year behind me and begin listening about the year ahead of me. Notice I didn't say planning, I said listening. There'll be plenty of time for planning and organizing, but I try not to get ahead of myself, and so I spend the last week listening, and here's what I'm listening for. A word from God for the upcoming year that will help me see what He's doing and how He wants me and our family of churches to join Him. In the past, those words have been provision and patience or expectation. At the end of 2025, I sensed a clear word for 2026, gift. 27 years ago, when my wife Wendy and I started the Orchard, I was the only pastor at one location. Now I am one of 13 pastors across our family of seven churches across North Mississippi. I get to preach and teach and shepherd, while my day-to-day responsibilities are to lead and serve the Orchard family as a whole. In that role, I get to see the amazing things that God is doing in ways that few others get to see. I get to see the gift that God has given us over the past year of getting to be a part of what He has been doing in all the communities where we are. Now, sometimes on birthdays, especially if it's our birthday, we receive gifts. The best part, remember? Your site pastor is going to share some specifics about your site, but let me tell you about some of the gifts God has given the Orchard family over the last year. Let me start with the greatest gift, the gift of relationship. Over this past year, the Orchard family has had the blessing of introducing 125 brand new people to Jesus for the very first time, and then celebrating them with them in baptism. This is the most people in any year in our history. What a gift to introduce people in relationship. Then the gift of invitation. This past year, we had more people worship with us each week in every sight than in any other year in our history. You faithfully invited people, and they came. The gift of community was another great gift that God gave us. Across our family, we had more connection opportunities and more people connected than ever before. Community groups, retreats for men and women, students and children, short-term classes, meals, gatherings, prayer times, more connection than at any other time in the life of our community. And how important that is in this world where you're so fractured and scattered to have real connection. Then the gift of generosity. Because of God's Spirit moving, you responded by providing more financial resources than ever before. And out of that generosity, you gave over $500,000 to missions around our cities, our state, and world. And additionally, $78,000 on Christmas Eve alone to be used specifically in our communities. And you gave away not just your resources, but your lives in summer reading programs and serve days and in ongoing ways through serving with our mission partners in our communities. And then the gift of investment. Over the past 5 years, through our Trellis Residency Program, God has given us the opportunity to invest in young men and women who will teach, preach, lead, and serve churches in the years ahead. Of the 48 residents who have participated, 31 of them are engaged in vocational ministry. Some in our churches, many in other churches who share our heart to advance the kingdom of Christ. To be a part of what God is up to in these ways is truly a gift. However, at the end of the year, when I spent that time listening, the Holy Spirit provided some clarity that the word gift was to be about not just gratitude for the gifts we've received, but an intentional decision to be a gift in the year ahead. The heart of the Orchard has always been anchored in Jesus' words in John 15. It's where our name comes from, the Orchard, a place devoted to the cultivation of fruit. In John 15, Jesus calls us to go bear fruit that will last. That same chapter is where our mission comes from, when Jesus invites us to remain in Him. We want to help people grow deep in the love of Jesus, and we want to branch out to others with that love. Jesus says, "You must also testify about me, because you've been with me from the beginning of my ministry." Be a gift. In light of this call, how do we do that? I just told you that we had a record year everywhere in almost every way, but there's still work to be done. On average, 50% of your workplace, your neighborhood, your school does not have a personal relationship with Jesus or a connection to a community of faith. What if we saw the opportunity to love on the people who are far from God and to invite them into relationship as a gift? How might we be a gift to them in a way that we might, at just the right time, invite them to receive the gift of Jesus? Sometimes I think we see people as outsiders, as threats, different, unreachable. But what if we saw them as a gift? Jesus offers us the gift of a deep, abiding relationship with Him. How do we invite others to receive that gift too? In the back half of John 15, Jesus says that we shouldn't be surprised if the world hates us because it hated Him first. In a world that is hostile towards us, how can we be a gift to them? I wish I had all the answers, but I have every confidence that you all will keep discovering and inventing ways to love your neighbors with the love of Jesus. Can I challenge you to keep discovering and inventing ways to love your neighbor with the love of Jesus? Because I know that more people will come to faith because of what you do outside of the walls of our churches than what we do inside the walls of our churches. We have received so many gifts this past year. I'm challenging you to be a gift in the year ahead. Make it a matter of daily prayer, asking God, how can you see the lost around you as a gift, and how can you be a gift to them? One last thing. It's a little odd, I know, to ask for a gift on your birthday. Most of us would never do that. For our birthday, however, I want to ask you to join me in asking for a gift, more of the Holy Spirit. In John 15, Jesus promises that He will send the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, to testify all about Jesus, to teach us and to prepare us and to fill us so that the very things we're asking for are not a wish we hope for, but a promise fulfilled. Would you join me in asking that God would give us more of His Holy Spirit, more of the gifts of the Spirit to serve one another and equip one another to do the work of Jesus, more of the boldness of the Spirit to live and to serve in the world faithfully, more of the fruits of the Spirit so that we would grow ever more into the likeness of Jesus, more of the filling of the Spirit so that we might be more surrendered and more aware of what God wants to do in us and through us? Would you join me in asking that God would give us more of His Holy Spirit, that our gratitude would overflow and our faithfulness would endure, that our 28th year might be our most fruitful yet, and that the best part of our birthday would indeed be celebrating being and asking for a gift.
Last week, I had a chance to speak at a youth camp. Man, I had the best time. My son Isaac got to go with me. But one of the kids asked me while I was there, he goes, "Sir, how old are you?" Well, what he really said was, "Hey, bro, how old are you? Because you got a lot of energy for somebody old." Well, without missing a beat, I just said, "Well, I use readers with my contact years old, but I could still whoop you if I needed to." Because sometimes we just need to be clear. And that's exactly what I want us to be today on our 27th birthday. Hey, my name is Will Rambo. I'm one of the pastors here at the Orchard Tupelo. It is our birthday, and we're not celebrating exactly like we wanted to celebrate it, but there's some important things, I think, for us to think about. And however we get to talk about it, we're going to talk about it together today. So we're going to read today three verses from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is an Old Testament book, about 45% of the way through your Bible. You can find it there. Open to Psalms, go back to the left a little bit, you'll find Nehemiah. So Nehemiah is at a time in Israel's history where they had been sent off into exile, and the city and much of their nation had been destroyed. But Nehemiah has been a part of a group that's been sent back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city walls. So with that background, I want to read three verses for us. So Nehemiah leading the people in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Nehemiah 6, 1, 2, and 3. Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies found out that I had finished rebuilding the wall and that no gaps remained, though we had not yet set up the doors in the gates. So Sanballat and Geshem sent a message asking me to meet them at one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But I realized they were plotting to harm me, so I replied by sending this message to them: "I am engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you?" You know, another translation I grew up hearing said, "I won't come down from this wall because of the work I'm doing is too important." Nehemiah has this clarity. I mean, the wall wasn't just about the city itself. It wasn't just protection. It was identity. It was worship. It was the reputation of the people. Now, these men, they don't attack with force. They're attacking with distraction. "Come meet with us. Let's talk." But Nehemiah answers with clarity: "I'm engaged in a great work, so I can't come. Why should I stop working to come and meet with you?" Nehemiah is clear about his purpose. When I got out of college, the first pastor I ever worked for used to say all the time, when your vision is clear, your decisions are easy. I've always loved that. Even when something has been hard, we want to lead with enough clarity that we know what God is calling us to right now. And though the decision may have consequences, we want to be clear about what's right. Our church has been clear for 27 years. We're about growing deep and branching out. And we want to hone in what that means in a couple of particular ways this year, just to be a bit more clear. I want us to be clear about what we want for you. A growing disciple is not simply someone who attends a church more often or makes more activities. It's someone being formed in the image of Jesus. And that can be general, so we want to be clear. We've been working with an organization that is helping us clarify what transformation looks like at the Orchard Tupelo. This year, we're going to keep coming back to four markers of growing as a follower of Jesus. We're going to talk about being intentional followers, people who arrange their lives around Jesus. We're going to talk about being loving friends who practice real sacrificial relationships. We're going to talk about being joyful sowers who give generously of time, energy, and resources. And we're going to talk about being kingdom multipliers, people who help others take their next steps with God. That's what growth looks like here. It's not perfection or performance. It's clear. It's direction and trajectory. We'll talk through these at different points this year, and they'll be the crux of our fall launch series in August and September. We want to help you identify circles of influence God has already given you, where you live, work, and play. We don't need a new mission field. We need more clarity about who and how God is calling us to serve in the circles we're already standing in. We want to also be clear about closing our back door. Our church is easy to visit, and we thank God for that, but we want to be clearer about how people connect. Big churches grow smaller through clear pathways, so we're going to become more clear about how people connect to teams and groups so that someone moves from "I attend the Orchard" to "I belong to the Orchard." It's not pressure or guilt. We want clarity. We don't want people drifting through our church because they never knew where the path toward connection actually was. This year, we also want to get clear about redeeming what God has entrusted to us. Later this spring, we're going to roll out a capital campaign because stewardship requires clarity. God has given us this beautiful property, a building we get to gather in, and we want to use them well. There are improvements we need to make, and some of them we haven't worked on in 21 years we've been in this building. We need a new roof. We need to look at our AC unit. I mean, it may be the Lord's house, but it's still a house. We want to improve the sound quality in our worship space. We want to paint and clean up some things in there to make it even more inviting for people who come in. We want to work on our grounds to create space for people to enjoy our property before they even walk inside. It's not about polish or presentation. It's about hospitality. It's about removing unnecessary barriers to ministry. Nehemiah didn't rebuild the wall because he loved bricks. He rebuilt it because he loved what God wanted to do within the community there. We also want to be even more clear this year about reaching people no one else is reaching. We want to operate with intentional plans, not hopes and maybes. That means we will be letting go of some things we've always done and trying some new things in this season to see if it bears new fruit. We want to serve with faithfulness and not just familiarity. Clarity always requires courage, and courage means saying no to good things so we can say yes to the right things. Friends, Nehemiah didn't stay on the wall because he was stubborn. He stayed on the wall because he was clear. Clarity keeps us from becoming distracted. Clarity will keep us from settling for a good work when God has called us to a greater one. So this year, as the Orchard Tupelo steps into year 27, we are saying together, God has called us to a great work, and we will not come down. We will not back down from what he's invited us to. Not because we're great, not because our work is impressive, but because our God is good and faithful. And there's still work to be done. And he's so gracious, he invites folks like you and me to join him. So here's the prayer I want us to pray this year, simple and bold. God, would you make it clear? Clear who you're shaping us to become. Clear where you've planted us. Clear what you've entrusted to us. Clear about who you're calling us to reach. The Lord has been clear. He's called us to an important work. So may God grant us the clarity to see our next steps and the courage to never, ever back down. The Lord has given us a good work. Let us not ever neglect the invitation he has given us. Would you pray with me? God, I want to pray that simple prayer together. Lord, would you make it clear? Would you make it clear in our own hearts the work that you're doing individually, the things that need to bubble to the surface that we might repent from, lay down and let go of, that even people like us would be shaped and formed more into your image. Lord, would you make it clear how we can increase our connectivity across the life of our church so that people who have found a place to sit and breathe might find a circle to sit in and belong. Lord, would you help it be clear how we might utilize the resources you have so graciously entrusted to us? Lord, if there's an innovative way we could use this property that you've given us, Lord, would you give us insight, wisdom, creativity, innovation beyond our own capacity to think it up? And Lord, our heart, oh, our heart for 27 years has been to reach people no one else is reaching. Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us ears to hear? Would you give us new insights and understanding about where we might engage with people in incredibly important first conversations that we might get to have even more important conversations later on down the road? Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for your faithfulness for the last 27 years. I thank you for the church family that we get to be a part of. And Lord, I pray you would pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, that this day and the days ahead, we might become more the people you've called and created us to become. That's our prayer together. To you, our Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
We've now come to our time of offering. An offering is intended for those who would call this place their home. If you're our guest and it's your first time to tune in with us, we are so thankful that you did. We ask that you not give unless you feel moved or prompted to do so. But if the Orchard is your home, then it is our time to give. Now, I know we're not in the building, but you'll see on the screen there are several ways that you can still do that this week. Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for all the incredible things that you have done in the life of the Orchard over this past year. What an incredible way that we get to celebrate today. And God, now I give you our offering. And God, may people be generous in their giving so that in this next year, in the year of 2026, God, that you can continue to do more in the life of the Orchard through generous gifts. God, we ask all of this in your most precious name. Amen. Hey, just a few things before we go. I wanted to tell you about an opportunity we have coming up for our men. Our men's retreat will be on February 7th with a Friday night option at Camp Lake Stevens in Oxford. It's an incredible time to make our big church small for men to come together and do really fun things. I've never been, but I've heard it's amazing. So we would love for you to come. If you've never done something like that before, or maybe it's your 10th time to come, we would love for you to come to our men's retreat. You can register online for that. And one thing we always love to say, money should never be a limiter. So if this is a struggle for you, please let us know. We have scholarships available. And then also, if you would like to scholarship someone, we would be so thankful for that gift. You can email greg@theorchard.net for both of those things, either for a scholarship or to give a scholarship. So we would love for you to register for that event that's coming up February 7th in Oxford at Camp Lake Stevens. Hey, we hope that you come back next week at 8:30, 10, and 11:30. And before we go, there is going to be a song next with Chris Ekus, who is one of our family worship leaders. We would love for you to tune in and enjoy that. See you next week.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy's never failed me. In all my day, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice, 'cause you have led me through the fire. Oh, in darkest nights, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. 'Cause your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.